Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now to take a look at some headlines coming out of China. Quite interesting. One of it involves a decades-old law to promote and improve gender equality. Well, we're going to find out more about that and a whole lot more from Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Dr. Oh.
A very good morning to all of you.
Dr. Oh, let's start off with China updating its decades-old women's law to improve gender equality. This comes days after the Communist Party excluded women from its upper echelons for the first time in 25 years. Now, this obviously is an amendment to the Women's Rights and Interest Protection Law. Could you tell us more about this revised version that will be adopted from next year?
Well, I think the details of the proposed laws are still coming out. But at the moment, I think it was reported that, for example, there will be provisions about, the discrimination against women in the workplace, for example, would be prohibited. For example, some of those women who had pregnancies, their maternity leaves and so on, and they don't get promotion, for example, out of that. So practices such as this would be prohibited. Yeah. Also, I think there will be provisions to try to strengthen the policing of trafficking in women.
Okay.
So, but we are still looking for the details here.
It's going to be quite interesting because, I mean, this is supposed to promote gender equality, supposed to improve careers of women, right? But at the same time, somehow there needs to be some kind of a better framework to encourage family planning, because this obviously is a problem that China is facing. Do you think we can expect more in this area?
Well, I think China nowadays, the notion of family planning is very different from just a few years ago, right? Now they are encouraging families to have more kids instead of fewer kids.
Yeah.
So how that would translate into actual practice, I think, remains to be seen. You know, all of us have friends from China, and I think many of them are still very reluctant to have more kids nowadays. Yeah.
Dr. Oh, let's focus on presidency's third term. It's now underway, and it looks like there are a lot of key visits lined up. The first one being the Vietnamese Communist Party chief Nguyen Phu Trong is on an official visit to China, I believe, till tomorrow. The first foreign leader to visit Xi Jinping since the Chinese leader cemented his third term at the recently concluded CPC. I mean, it's underway right now, but what are we expecting from this trip?
Well, let us not lose sight of the fact that Vietnam, just like China, there are some of the very few remaining communist countries in this world. So it's only appropriate that, the leader of a communist country would go to China to congratulate China on a successful party congress, right? But of course, Vietnamese-Chinese relationship has always been a very complex ones. For example, sometimes when they have confrontations over South China Sea claims and so on, you will see the low points of their relationship. But now apparently, you know, these sort of confrontations on open seas, they are sort of dimmed down for the moment, due perhaps also to the COVID pandemic. So it is, of course, then now a high point for the two countries to forge a closer relationship, not the least economic ones.
Okay, but must be quite a balancing act for Vietnam as well, because, I mean, let's not forget, they are an emerging economy. They kind of need relationships, well, everywhere, including the United States.
Oh, yeah, indeed. The U.S. investment in Vietnam has intensified over the past decade.
Yeah.
And then Vietnam is, of course, now the fastest growing economy in the whole of Southeast Asia. But just like many other Southeast Asian countries, we simply could not afford to anger China because, well, it is the second largest economy in the world.
President Xi and his top official are also expected to hold talks in the capital with Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hussein. Quite a few talks here. I mean, what are we expecting from these?
Well, with Pakistan, I think it's a cementing of traditionally already very close Sino-Pakistani relationship, because I think this is a new prime minister of Pakistan. Of course, China would like to renew its friendship with this new prime minister. But, you know, we have always to keep in mind these are two very strategically close countries. With Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, I think that raises a bit of eyebrows among European capitals.
Yeah.
Because, well, China and the European Union, they are not on the best of terms, right? Mm-hmm. And Germany is the largest and most powerful country in the European Union. Mm-hmm. So how Olaf Scholz would conduct his meetings, his diplomacy on the Chinese capital, I think that would invite a lot of close scrutiny, primarily from the West. And then Tanzania is one of China's staunchest traditional allies on the African continent. So again, just like in the case of Pakistan, it's a case of renewing their friendships with this traditional ally.
Okay, all about the timing as well. Very interesting one, Dr. Oh. There's some reports that have stated that President Xi is also planning a trip to Saudi Arabia. Of course, we don't have any clue on the time frame for this to happen, but I'm assuming it's going to be all about oil.
Oil and also taking opportunity of the fact that the U.S. Saudi relations is not at the, on the best terms nowadays. Actually, we have heard of this purported trip as early as last year. When I first heard of it, the middle of last year, during the height of the pandemic, that somehow Xi may still make a visit to Saudi Arabia and so on. So it's a long delay one. And I think China is anxious to improve its relations with Saudi Arabia. Number one, of course, it needs the energy supply, namely oil from Saudi Arabia. And number two, of course, taking advantage of the low point in the Saudi-US relationship.
Just a final one. This is an interesting piece that came across. So China named Beijing Mayor Chen Jining as the new Communist Party leader for Shanghai. Mr. Chen replaces Mr. Li Qiang as the party secretary of the financial hub, which is what, home to 25 million people. Mr. Li, very interestingly, had oversight of the two-month lockdown of the financial hub. A lot of people had trouble getting food and medicine. Your thoughts on this, Dr. Oh, is it kind of a response to Mr. Li's oversight of the matter?
Well, I think Mr. Li's colleagues would like Mr. Li a lot because, or at least Xi Jinping would love Mr. Li a lot because otherwise Mr. Li would not be promoted to be number one, standing member of the Politburo, and number two, reportedly the future premier or prime minister of the country, right? So I think this is a regular transfer. I mean, Mr. Li is going to be transferred away from his Shanghai portfolio to become the new premier, and therefore somebody has to replace him. And Shanghai is China's most important financial center, right? So you need somebody, from, for example, from the capital in this case, to replace him.
So both ways, it's a key appointment, so-called movement in that sense.
The people have different views on the Shanghai lockdowns. But I think from the central leadership, they do appreciate what he did. Otherwise, they wouldn't have promoted him. Yeah.
That's kind of the zero COVID policy as well, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Oh Ei San, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on the line with me. Dr. Oh, as always, I appreciate your time. You take care and have a great day.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.